Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Hi, everyone. This is Chatting with Nat. This is Natalie Jean. Yes, this is Natalie Jean. And today we have singer-songwriter Emily Rona. Hailing from Boston, Massachusetts, Emily spent the first decade of her musical journey convinced she was going to front a punk band. Soon after realizing the marriage of a band didn't suit her, she fled the altar for a stab at a solo career in Nashville. Launching the project in the beginning of 2021, Rona utilized the first tour singles as a way of discussing the intersection between her mental health and sexuality. Now with the new single Scroll, Rona rounds out her feelings in a fully packaged EP, uncoincidentally coined Sex and Depression, S-A-D, I love that set. Scroll, another cleverly coined title, details the hateful, obsessive relationship most people face with social media. Amen. Though the phenomenon is common, the level of slightly too honest wit is something that can only be found on her Rona original. If I post a nip slip, will I get more engagement? As Rona has also discovered, the unfortunate answer is yes. S-A-D is available everywhere December 3rd. Let's give her a round of applause. Hi, Emily. How are you?
Thank you so much. Good. How are you? Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. I am well. I am still alive, living in a pandemic. Every time you turn around, there's another virus, another name for another variant. It's just, we're all trying to get through the crap. It's just been crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how have you been during this whole pandemic thing?
Well, I made an EP is how I coped.
Which is great, which is awesome.
Thank you.
I love that. I mean, you took the time to take care of yourself and to create music. That means you are a true artist, still doing your thing. So one of the questions I like to ask everyone is, obviously during the pandemic, it was crazy. We had a lot of downtime, and some of us were working from home, but we can see that the pandemic, there were pros and there were cons. Obviously, the cons were the deaths of many, many millions and millions and millions and millions of people. And some people survived, but they're still going through lingering effects. Some people lost their limbs. I mean, so many bad things. But on the other side, the flip side, there are actually some pros. So the things that I saw were, family members were walking outside. Now, that's not supposed to be a strange thing, but these days in the 21st century, you don't often a lot of times, at least in my neighborhood, see families, walking around joyfully together, holding hands. The other thing was climate change. Oh, my God. The pollution level went down. The animals were happy. The trees were singing. Everybody was like, oh, here we are. Now, I read a couple of articles where they said people actually quit their jobs because they realized they wanted to do something where they could be an effective player or they wanted to follow their passions. With artists, you find that artists decided to rebrand or they decided to be more an effective player in life. They wanted to do something different. So a lot of people had time to self-reflect is what I'm trying to say. So during that time, or this time, because we're still there, did you take time to self-reflect? Is that self-reflection part of your new EP? What did you think about?
Oh, my God, so much self-reflection happened. I had way too much time to think about myself and my life and my brain. Just a little background. I initially moved to Nashville to just be a songwriter and write songs for other people. I wanted to write pop songs. And then the pandemic happened and I sort of realized there was this piece of my creativity missing. And I was writing these songs that I really, really liked that were kind of raunchy and a little too outrageous for somebody else to want to cut. And it was the pandemic, and I was just kind of, you know, like sitting there in my house every day being like, well, I'm not doing anything else. Why
right.
not just release music? You know, why not do that? So I started plotting that in the thick of the pandemic. And it took me a while to really be okay with the fact, like, no, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to just put music out under my own name. I was in a punk band for a while, but it had never been like the Emily Rana show before. It had
right.
never been all on me before. So that part was a little scary. And some of the songs were already written. Some of the songs I was still writing. And in writing the rest of the EP, I was also doing a lot of self-reflection with my mental health. I think being isolated really, it put my anxiety into a whole new level of overdrive and really forced me to actually seek the help that I needed. Like, I started going to therapy. I got a psychiatrist. I started taking medication for it. I got an actual diagnosis. And I'm still an anxious person, but I think I take a lot better care of myself now because I was put in a situation where I couldn't be distracted from it anymore.
That's really good.
Before the pandemic, yeah.
Before the pandemic,
I was distracted all the time.
I have to applaud you on that because it takes a true person to really identify, really self-reflect and say, okay, this is where I need to work on myself. It's not about anybody else. It's just you realizing I need to take control of this situation. So kudos for doing that because that's very important. I think a lot of us go through anxiety, I think some more than most, especially dealing with something like a pandemic where you have to wear a mask. You have
to
touch this, don't touch your face. You normally touch your face and you're just like, well, that's a habit. I do it anyway. And then you just have to, you almost have to turn into a different person. So, yeah, no, I completely applaud you on that. It's interesting that you talk about that because November, I actually wrote a song about how it would make somebody feel that's more of a person that's an extrovert that needed to stay inside the entire time and feeling that kind of anxiety. And it's a dark song. It's a weird song that I did because I like to do weird things. I don't care. I'm like you. I like to create what I want to create. I don't have time for anybody to tell me, oh, no, Natalie, don't do that. I applaud you on that level as well because we need more artists like that that want to create the music that, you know, that's within them that they want to express because what you're basically expressing is something else somebody else wants to express at the same time. You know what I mean? It's not, nothing is untouchable. No subject is untouchable. Some people may cringe at some of the topics, but that's okay because there's an audience out there for us, for everyone out there. Now, what was it about the music industry that made you go, whoa, oh my gosh, this is something I have to get into? Was it something that you heard, you saw? What was it that said, okay, Emily is music? And music is Emily.
Oh, man, this is going to sound really cheesy, but there was never a second thought. Both of my parents are musical, so I grew up kind of listening to music in a different way. Like, music was just very, very important. My dad had a recording studio in the basement. He would put me in front of a microphone and just press record and just kind of let me do whatever it is that I wanted. So my creativity was really fostered from a young age. So it ended up becoming more of a thing where, like, I need to create. I will die if I do not. How do I make money off of this so I don't have to do anything else ever again? Ever since then, it's just been a trajectory of music just becoming, like, more and more and more and more and more vital to me.
Right.
I think it really, really clicked when I was 13. My dad used to bring me to a lot of concerts because I was little and they didn't want me to go by myself. We grew up in Boston. It was a big city. So we went to Avril Lavigne's The Best Damn Tour, and I was so small I was able to, like, move through the mosh pit and, like, get to the very front, and I just watched her the whole time, and I was like, yep, that's it. That's what I want to do. I don't know what it was about it that made that happen, but I was just like, yep, mm-hmm. And it's never been different since then.
That's awesome. So how would you describe your music in the sense of what do you think your genre is? And why did you choose that specific genre? Or do you have a genre at all? Because I, you know, I'm at the point where I'm like, I'm an artist, I create. Although I'm focused on Americana, I do write music and perform for different genres.
I have been calling it emo pop.
Okay.
Because it definitely is rooted in 2000s emo, all the pop punk I was influenced by. But there's also a lot of electro pop and trap beats. In the production, but more recently with like the newer stuff I've been writing and recording, as well as Three Way, which is one of the songs on the EP that's coming out on Friday.
Okay.
I've been utilizing some country influence in sort of an ironic way because I live in Nashville. So there's country music everywhere, obviously. And I thought it would be really funny to like have country sounding music about Three Ways and like really obnoxious sex things, because no one would ever expect that. No one really wants that in the country world, so it just kind of feels fun for me to kind of like poke at people like that. And there's someone in town, Cassidy Pope. She used to be the lead singer of Hey Monday, which was this pop punk band. I'm not sure if you were into that world at all in 2008, but she's amazing, and she's kind of country emo now, and she's coined the term y'alternative. Which I think is great and amazing. So I'm sort of going in a alternative direction as well.
What I like about that is that, so like I was telling you about my song, but so I actually Googled because I wanted to see, I was actually looking for like dark Americana music. And what I found was that there's actually country gothic music. And I was just like,
oh my God.
It's like, what? Country gothic music. Oh, I'm so doing this mess. I am so getting into this. I don't care if they say anything. Because I'm like you. Again, when I create music, I like to do something that's different. Or I like to do something that's a little bit shocking. I like to do something that, you know, where people are going to be like, what? Huh? Did she really say about that? Yes, I love that. Yeah, there is country gothic. Yeah, you have to Google it, find it. It is, yes, it is out there. I mean, we can read genres as well. That'd be awesome. Emo pop, emo dark pop, I don't know, we're just gonna do it. Talk about authenticity. How important is it for you to be an authentic artist and to speak your truth and your sing your
very
truth?
Very much so. That might be rooted in my inability to lie. I'm a very bad liar. And as someone who has kind of grown up with anxiety, I feel like sometimes it's hard for me to totally feel comfortable being myself around certain people and around certain situations. So music has definitely been an outlet for me for a really long time of like, I can be 100% me right now. It doesn't matter. This is just how I'm going to fully communicate who I am, because my brain is being weird about it in other situations.
Right.
So it's very important. Yeah. Yeah. And with this particular new artist project, I feel like it's just been so much easier. And maybe it is because it's just like, I have a team of people and a team of close friends that I work with who I really love, but it's really me calling the shots and having to make all the decisions. And I've really been able to like think about not only who I am as a person, but who I am as an artist. Like, do those things overlap? How much do they overlap? And like, how can I put all these different parts of myself, not only in the music, but in the branding. I have music to color synesthesia, so I thought it'd be really cool to make each single a different color that I associate with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just like a little bit like, oh, this is like a part of my personality that I can just throw in here, and maybe someone will notice, maybe no one will, but like, I think it's fun, and I feel like I'm expressing myself on a full spectrum, which just makes me feel good, regardless of what happens after that.
That's awesome. Now let's talk about gender identity. Give me your feelings on that.
Oh God, I love talking about gender.
Here we go.
I use she, they pronouns, and I have been identifying as gender nonconforming. I don't fully feel like a woman. I definitely don't feel like a man. I have a really close friend of mine who explained that instead of gender being looked at as a straight line, like a spectrum, it could be looked at like a triangle, where like one corner is non-binary, one corner is male, one corner is female. So I've definitely find myself in between like the female non-binary. But as of recently, I've been more sort of leaning towards the idea of just like fully succumbing to the fact that I don't really think gender exists.
Right.
And maybe non-binary is just the way that I want to identify, because that also makes me feel like I have a lot of freedom to express myself however I want. Like, there's just no rules at all. But also try to figure out how to do that and still, like, acknowledge the fact that I have a female body and, like, what does that mean? Abortion rights, you know, like, all of that stuff, and not, like, discounting that.
Right.
Either, because there's still so much about feminism and womanhood that's really, really important. So maybe a lot of it too is me trying to figure out a new way to identify what it means to be feminine without feeling like I have to really succumb to a label, because that's another thing. Like, I'm not really huge on on labels very much.
Right.
I look for the biggest, like, the vaguest thing ever to, like, label myself as in, like, all areas. I think gender is fascinating. I think the social construct is fascinating. It's obnoxious and it's terrible, but it's really interesting to look into it and break it down and re-identify it and
right.
reshape, like, how you think about it. Yeah, I'm really nerdy about gender studies.
No, I mean, listen, if it's your thing, it's your thing. Let me ask you this question. Often like to have
yeah.
a conversation about, like, I'm extremely liberal, and I say, you know, whatever floats your boat, whatever it is that you feel, you got to go with it. Now, one of the biggest controversies is, you know, like, if a person is transgender, let's say a male becomes a woman, and then it's the whole sports thing. So I actually have a hard time with this one, because I think that, yeah, they've turned into a woman, blah, blah, blah. They should be able to play. But the problem is they still have male hormones. Not to say that women cannot beat men, but I find that it's not fair sometimes, because that person has an advantage. Even though they're a woman now, they have an advantage over the females. What do you think about that?
I have always struggled with this, because my mom used to say things like, well, Emily, your biology is different from a man's. And that just
right.
always inherently pissed me off.
Yes,
so
I agree.
I really do not like to acknowledge biological differences, because I don't even know how much I think they exist. I mean, like, obviously there's, like, physical differences between a male body and a female body. There's different sex organs and whatever, but other than that, I really do not like to box physical capacity in that much. So I'm very, very, very pro if someone is trans and have transitioned. However you identify, I think that's the team you should be on. That's the dorm you should live in.
Right.
Because I also think that opening that door, even if you do want to say that there are physical differences, which I think most people will tell me that there are, no matter how much I try to fight it all the time, I think it'll just expand everyone's idea of what people can do regardless of gender. I just think it'll further break stigma. Like, the more integrated everybody is and the more trans bodies are accepted the same way that cis bodies are.
Well, we got two points of view there. I agree. I think that everybody should be allowed to do their thing. But, you know, if the whole, I mean, I think the whole thing is very complicated. I do, my thing sometimes also with all this, well, you got he, she, did, it annoys me. Why do we have to have labels in the first place? It's just every day somebody's come up with a different thing, and I have to Google and search and, okay, what does this mean? What does this mean about this person? I mean, why do we even have to label? Why can't we just say, okay, we love we're human beings and we love different ways, but why do we have to label each other a certain thing?
I had this conversation with my mom over Thanksgiving because she said the same thing. And it was about, I think, just gender, because there's a new mayor in Boston and she's the first Asian and the first woman to ever be mayor in Boston. And my mom was like, well, every time they talk about her, they're always like, you know, so-and-so, the Asian woman mayor. And like, why do we always have to add that label to her? And my perspective on that is that representation is really, really important. And the default is just very much still white and heteronormative.
Right.
So I think the more that people have these labels and identities for themselves that they want to share and feel comfortable sharing, the more that people are used to understanding that there's more than what we think the norm is. And I think it's good to sort of remind each other that the reason why everyone is saying that this mayor is the first Asian woman mayor is because it's never happened before, which is crazy and fucked up, but it's never happened. And it happened now, and it's really, really important. So we should acknowledge the fact that it did instead of trying to deny that their identity is not important. Because identity is important. It's how we all see each other. It's how we all interact. And I agree that boxes can be dangerous. I get into all the time about my own gender identity because I feel like my act of trying not to box myself in like leads me to try to find other boxes, which is just like a total mind fuck for me. But I think in general, it really just comes down to representation and vocabulary and people just learning about each other and having the words to learn about each other and feeling more comfortable expressing themselves and having the words and labels to do so. Because now you can just say, I am this without having to like define it every single time and exhaust yourself.
All righty, well, there's the explanation. And I appreciate that. So we're going to play your song Scroll. Tell us what that's about.
That was a song I wrote in the pandemic. I was on social media a lot more often, as I'm sure a lot of people were. And I realized that I was having a lot of body image issues because I was just comparing myself to every single person I saw. And this was something I'd never really dealt with before because I was distracted all the time. I didn't have time to think about like what my stomach looked like in comparison to so-and-so's on Instagram. So I was thinking a lot about that and started writing a melody around it.
Right.
And then I had a Zoom co-write with my very good friend, Elisa Sun, because all of our writing sessions were over Zoom.
Okay.
And I told her what the concept was and she completely, you know, felt for it and agreed with it. So we just banged the song out together. And I kind of held on to it for a little while. I demoed it a completely different way. I demoed it in a very, very pop way because my original plan was like, I'm going to pitch this to somebody else. And
right.
Then when it came down to me, making the set list for my own EP, I was like, this is a song that I talk about nip slips. This should be mine. So I redid it in like my genre world and it comes out on Friday and I'm really excited about it.
All right. Let's play it.
Morning routine. Coffee and close to my feet. This is my daily addiction. If I post a lip slip, will I get more engagement? What about if I slip it and talk my hips? Will I feel better? Cause all I do is scroll, I don't stop. I just see what I'm at, what I wait. I don't know why I do it time, but the rest do it, making my real the scroll that I'm got. I can see what I'm not, what a waste. I don't know why I do it, size up the rest while I size me to death, what a shame. I don't know why I do it.
I love that.
That's thanks.
Really, that was really good.
Thank you. Awesome. I appreciate it.
What song of yours do you like to perform and why? Which one's your favorite?
Oh, right now it's Three Way because that gets the most laughs and the most shock value reactions. So it's really fun for me to like watch the audience's face change when I rhyme depression with erection.
Yeah, I think that is, yeah, that's definitely the one that's going to get you the most reaction, probably. Three ways.
Yeah, yeah. That one's just, and it's also just, melodically, it's just a fun song for me, too.
Okay. So, what is your songwriting process like? And if you deal with writer's block, how do you deal with that?
My songwriting process has changed. Over the years, I used to kind of write everything at once, and I would write it all at once, like melody, lyrics, concept, and I would never edit it. It would just be like, here's my expression, here's my word vomit, this is my song, done. And ever since I moved to Nashville, I've sort of been thinking about songwriting in a much more strategic way. I co-write a lot now, which I didn't used to do before, which has really helped with the writer's block. I feel like I don't deal with it as much because when you're in a room with somebody else, it's like easier for inspiration to like be sparked when you have another brain in there.
Right.
I'm usually melody first now. I'm very melody heavy. My lyrics have gotten better since I've been here and been writing as much as I have, but melody definitely comes easiest to me.
Okay.
And I love to top line. I work with a lot of producers who will usually just hand me a track and I'll just write melody and lyrics over it. I find that to be the most freeing way to write, ironically, when I don't have to think about like what the instrumentation is supposed to be under it. I feel like I just have so much room to just do whatever melody I want.
Now, where is the oddest place where you came up with this song?
Where's the what place? Sorry.
Oddest. Weird.
Oh.
You're like, oh.
Has there been a really odd place? I really wish I had a good answer for that. I wish I could be like, I was in bed with someone and I thought of three-way, but that's not how it happened. I don't think I have any weird places. I do what a lot of people... I'm sure say like I'm in the car or I'm in the shower, I'm walking a dog. I dream things sometimes.
Right.
I'll dream melodies.
So do I.
Yeah, and I'll wake up and be like, crap, that's already a song. Because in my dream it was already a song. And then I'm like, wait, no, it's not. I have to remember it right now.
I think that for me, and I always say this, always the shower. The shower,
yeah.
I can create the best songs in the shower and then forget them. You know, I try to repeat them, try to put my phone and all that stuff, and I'm like, no, can't remember because I'm getting older because I'm the oldest dirt. And so I'm just like, oh my God, that was the best thing. And somebody told me it's because, you know, you're by yourself or you're not by yourself, I don't know, that the water is very soothing. So that you're very comfortable. You don't have a care when you're in the shower because you're just comfortable. You're just relaxed. You're more relaxed in the shower, and that's why things come to you. And so I've been telling people, nobody better take my idea. So I want to create something where you have a gadget that, you know, does away with the water sound. And then you just press a button, you can just sing, you know, you can come up with your ideas. So I told somebody about that, and they mentioned to me that there was like a waterproof pad that I bought it. I don't know where I put it, but anyway, I bought it and I'm going to use it. She said her husband bought it for her. And it's like waterproof. It's like you can write on pencil, pen, or whatever, and you can come up with ideas. So I am definitely going to be using that, because I just like last night I came up with stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, you bought the damn thing. Why don't you have it in the damn shower with you? Just to let you know, there's something out there like that.
That's awesome.
Out there like that, that you too can use if you ever. Keep that stuff in your head. Damn it.
This day when back when I was still working in the office before the pandemic, right, where I kept having these song ideas and had to run to the bathroom and record them all in like the public stall.
You see? That's what I, see, yeah. You understand. You understand the dilemma that we face with this song stuff, because some of our stuff can just come out of nowhere. You could be sitting somewhere and all of a sudden there's the song idea comes through. Like, well, we're lucky that we have phones now where you can have like a voice recorder and just record whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes you don't have that. And, you know, you come up with some awesome ideas and you try to repeat. By the time you get home, you're just like, what did I say? And that really.
Yeah.
That really.
Yep. It does.
What do you like better? Do you like the writing process and recording process when you you've written the thing, you've gone into the studio, or do you like listening to the final result?
My favorite part is actually the middle.
Uh-oh.
My favorite part is when the song has been written and it's done and it's new and I'm really excited about it and the track is starting to be built. So it's right before I actually record any vocals.
Okay.
And we're just like building what the sound is and what the sonic landscape for the song is.
Right.
That part I find the most exciting.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. I like the end result. I kind of like the part where you're saying, okay, I want these instruments and I want this and everything comes together. And then I like the end result. Of everything, because sometimes I'll just say, well, I'll pick the oddest combination and and it'll come out really well. I love my producer because he doesn't care. He'll just like, okay, it's whatever you want. Let's see how we can make this work. So I do like that. So we're going to play your song, Someone Else. Tell us what that is about.
Yeah, this song I wrote with another writer who used to live in Nashville. She lives in Florida now, named Anna Klein, 2 years ago. And we wrote it when I was still very much in the I'm solely a writer headspace. But the concept was a concept that I brought into the write that day, where I was like, you know, my mental health makes me feel like there's someone else living in my head who's not me. And like doing all this crazy stuff and like thinking all these shitty things.
Right.
And Anna really liked that. So we wrote Someone Else. It happened really, really fast. It was really easy. And I really liked the song. And I was like, damn it, I need to demo this. I need to get it pitched. And then a month later, I was at someone's housewarming party. And it was a Nashville housewarming party. So, of course, there was like a writer's round circle. And everyone like passed around the guitar and played a song. So I played this song for the first time. And I almost cried, which has never happened to me before. I've never cried over my own stuff. And I kind of had that moment of, well, I guess I have to do something with this now if it's making me that emotional. So I started, like, I recorded it before the pandemic, still thinking that I was going to pitch it to somebody else.
Right.
And then, of course, that didn't happen. It was a combination of like no one else taking it and then me just feeling like really, really attached to the song.
Right.
And it was funny because the same week that song came out was the week I saw my psychiatrist for the first time and got the actual anxiety diagnosis. So it felt really fitting that that song came out where it's all about my anxiety. So it was just, it was a really weird, very, very weird week for me. But I love the song a lot. It's still my favorite song that I've put out thus far.
And I like that.
My EP exists. Yeah.
You have to love your music, so let's play it.
Can't go anywhere without tripping on the clothes you left lying around.
Another hit.
Thank you.
So do you ever submit your music for like sync?
I have, yes.
Okay.
I actually have a song right now that is sort of in talks to be on the show, which is really, really cool. I don't want to like jinx anything, but
right,
hopefully that will happen. Yeah. Yeah, sync is definitely a world that I've been thinking about and trying to get more involved in.
Yeah, because the way that I hear your voice, you definitely have the voice for sync, for being on a show.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, no, definitely. So how do you like to work in regards to how collaborations? Do you like the collaborative spirit of things, or do you prefer writing yourself? What do you love?
I love collaborating. I didn't think I would. Nashville is a very, very collaborative city, so I was kind of forced into writing with other people. When I moved here, and at first I was very anxious about it, was not into it, didn't believe I would be able to write my best work with another person in the room because I'd just be so anxious about what they thought about what I was writing.
Right.
But my tune about that has completely changed. I love writing with other people, even if I'm just working with another producer if I've written the whole song by myself. Still having another creative person in the room who I trust to like bounce ideas off of, because I'm also very extroverted, so I get a lot out of bouncing things off of people,
right,
and talking through my ideas out loud.
Well, that's, you know, one thing, like I do Americana, I do all that good stuff, and one of the things that I've learned recently, speaking or not, because I was in a songwriter session, is how much in country music, they like you to rhyme with
yes,
everything.
They do. They love a rhyme.
Why? Because my thing was like, isn't it the whole point is to tell a story?
Yeah.
I mean, they like to rhyme. They like to rhyme. They like to rhyme. And I was just like,
I feel really. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't mean to cut you
off. No,
continue.
Go ahead.
I feel like I can't fully comment on this as someone who is not at all part of the country music world, but
right.
From what I've witnessed of it and what I've heard about it from people who are involved, country very much seems super limiting to me.
Mm.
It's rooted in being repressed. it's formulaic. The institution is still racist, it's still homophobic, it's still sexist, so there's a lot of, like, having to fit a mold when it comes to country music still, and
right.
Nashville has a really big problem with that, because even though there's so much other amazing music happening in the city, country is still the thing that gets the spotlight, so unless you do country as well as fit whatever they think a country artist should be, you're going to have a bit of a hard time getting attention from anyone on the industry side, and hopefully that's changing. There are like plenty of people in country specifically who are like breaking those barriers, and like I said before, like adding more representation and like putting their identities in the mix and also making like really incredible music at the same time, but it's still not the majority,
right?
Yeah.
So I
clearly
you.
Have a lot of opinions about country. Yeah.
I do agree with you. You are right in regards to how country music is the way that they are. And they're trying to, you know, grow up a little bit here. It's baby steps. Because I had, you know, I tried to join the CMA Association a couple of years ago.
Mm.
I think it's very hard, though. They're like, oh, you have to be a full-time. It's had to be called country. Blah, blah, blah. And I said,
yeah.
You guys are, it's almost like you discriminate against other people based on even your criteria. They're like, oh, you have to have these sales. Have you ever been on Billboard chart? I feel like you do know that they're independent artists. You do know that not everybody has deep pockets. So I'm trying again. Let's see what they say this time around. Let's see.
Well, I
yeah.
hope it goes better for you this time.
Let's see what they say, because I'd like to, You heard me, uh-huh. It's just crazy. What is, but I'm thank you for your feedback on that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. What is the one thing you wish you had known before you got into the music industry? Oh, no, not one thing. Three things, sorry.
Oh, three things. Wow. That's hard because I still feel like so much stuff I don't know.
No, but you probably had some preconceived notions about what it would be like to work in the music industry.
I feel like all these three things are kind of rooted in perspective too. I wish I knew that I didn't have to be for everybody. I used to take it really, really personally if anyone in the industry like wasn't really into what I was doing, because I kind of looked at them as like the end all of my career.
Right.
And that's not true. And it saved me a lot of anxiety coming to that realization where like people, like the people who are going to like my music are going to like my music, and the people that don't. And
exactly.
I can't control that. know, and it doesn't mean that my music is bad, because I've also wish I knew in the past, I wish I knew that no one actually knows what they're doing. No one in the industry knows what they're doing. No one knows what's going to make a hit. Everyone is just throwing darts at nothing and hoping that something sticks. I had a phone call last year with an A&R representative, and I think I asked him something like, what advice could you give me? Like, someone who is like having a fresh new artist career, like, what is your advice? Mm-hmm. And they were just like, find your fans.
Mm.
And I'm like, what does that mean? Like he didn't follow up with like how I could do that or anything. Just like that was it. Find your fans. And I'm like, great, thanks. I kind of like, duh, but okay.
I know that, but hello.
Yeah. So I really wish I didn't put so much power into people that also like are kind of shooting in the dark too.
Right.
Like, I think half the time people don't want to bet on someone is because they're afraid of their own career.
True.
Because if it doesn't work, like, they're going to lose everything that they've worked for. Like, no one, it's all a mess. The music industry is, like, I would not want to be a part of any other industry, but it's honestly a little bit of a mess. And I wish I knew that I didn't have to sound like anybody else.
And you don't.
Because I think there was a lot of, thank you. I think there was a lot of, like in the early stages of my musicality, there was a lot of mimicking. Like, I mimicked Avril Lavigne. I mimicked like a lot of the early 2000s. And even when I was in college, like I was still doing some of that because you're kind of taught that like, this was successful, so you should do this. And if you try not to do that, people tell you that you're doing it wrong. But what people really want is something that they haven't heard before, but no one knows what that is until they hear it.
Right.
So until it's the right thing that no one's heard before, they're all going to be like, it's too different. I can't touch it. Like, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to go. So yeah, just to reiterate, I kind of wish I realized how scared everybody is, even the people that are hugely millionaire successful. No one knows where the industry is going ever, which is kind of exciting.
True. And you're right. We don't want to sound like everybody else. The music industry is very confusing because you'll go to different people and they'll say, well, if you're going to write for us, we don't want you to write like this person or write for this particular artist. Like, for example, Rihanna, if you're sending us something, it has to be different. And then you give it to them, and then they're like, well, this is not Rihanna. But so it's crazy. And I do always tell people, try to sound like yourself, like not anybody else. Obviously, if you're doing cover, you're a cover band, go for it. Sing like the artist that you want to sing like. You have to have your own uniqueness. You have to stand out of the crowd. That's the way the music industry is going these days. Even though you listen to the radio and everything sounds the same, when they find new artists, it's because they've done something different, or sometimes they've taken somebody else's song and made it different. And they're like, oh, well, I didn't even understand that perspective. But you're right. The bottom line in the music industry is like, music is very subjective. You're going to have people that are going to love you. You're going to have people that are not going to like you. But the bottom line, you have to like you. You have to like your own music. In fact, you have to love your music. And I tell people all the time, if you can't listen to your own, any of your music on repeat for an hour straight, don't put it out. I can do that. I love my music. I don't put anything that I don't put out. I don't. Love your own damn music.
That's good advice.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like, love your own damn music, because this is a part of you. This is what you're giving out to the world. No matter what the subject, the topic, breakup, whatever the case may be, this is all you that you're putting out there. So whatever you do, whatever energy that you're putting out there in it, is the energy that's coming from your soul. So you better love it. You know what I mean? It's just, it's so important. It's so important how we feel about the things that we put out there in the universe. But thank you so much, Emily. Oh, my God, the time has gone by so fast. I'm glad that we got to chat, that I got to get to know you, to hear your fantastic voice, to learn, you know, which, how you feel about sexuality and everything that's out there, and that you are your authentic self. This is very important to me. I'm always looking for artists that are authentic, that are not afraid just to be, just to be. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you so much for having me. I've highly enjoyed talking to you as well. I'm really glad we could connect. I really enjoyed our conversation. This was really fun for me. So thank you.
And then maybe one day we can do an Instagram live, because I do IG lives, and we can have
that would be awesome.
Whole world watch us chat.
I would love that. And it would be great to, like, kind of see your face.
Yep. There you go. It's always awesome. All right, everyone. This was Chatting with Nat with the awesome singer-songwriter Emily Rona. And you can find her on emilyrona.com. She's also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Guess what? You can also Google her, find her. You'll love her music. You'll love her because she's awe-inspiring. She's somebody to watch. You're going to see her name in life. Until next time on Chatting with
Nat. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard. Love you, love you.